الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. So we're starting the 17th juz, and this begins with Surah Al-Anbiya. And a lot of the focus of this juz is to talk about the destructive effects of heedlessness. In any case, we're told that people are unaware of the reckoning that's coming. People will have to give account for how they live their lives, and that they're playing around. And this is something that prevents them from hearkening to the message of the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore they blame him with all types of ludicrous things. They call, you know, blame him with magic, that he has false dreams, that he made this revelation up, that he's a poet, and then they demand that he bring a sign. But this is the same story as those who came before. And we've seen repeatedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that messengers are just men, you know, they eat and they're human just like us. And the signs and punishments and miracles coming, that's in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. And how many nations there were before that were destroyed. And when the punishment came, those people ran away. And it's at that point when it's too late that they recognize that there's on and that they're the wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the entire universe, and if he wanted, he could have taken a pastime, you know, if he wanted, but he would never do so. And angels don't have any problem. And when you talk about pastime, that's like, you know, having a wife or, you know, things just to entertain yourself. But this is, I mean, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is way above anything like that. And the angels have no problem submitting to him and being his slave. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, do their gods resurrect anyone? And had there been more than one god, there would have been fasad and commotion and chaos in the world. And that goes to the idea that if you have more than one god, when you have more than one entity, either they have the same exact will or they have different wills. If they have the same exact will, they cannot be except for one entity, and so you're left with one god. And if they have different wills, then by definition, those wills will collide on occasion. And if they collide, then what would happen? There would be chaos. And they have no proof for these false deities that they will worship. And to really settle the score, they're not supposed to be ones who should be asking the questions. He is the one who asks the questions. And he is too majestic to have a son. And whoever claims Godhead, those people will be put in the hellfire. Then he talks about a lot of his signs, for example, how the heavens and the earth were one and how they were split, you know, sort of like the Big Bang, and how every living thing is made from water, and how he's put pegs in the earth, and how the sort of the celestial movements and how the sun and the moon are each running in their own orbit. So this, I mean, clarifies for us that Allah's scientific miracles, which are mentioned in the Quran, you know, show us the veracity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power that he has. And then we're reminded that every soul will taste death. And the disbelievers, they take the Prophet as a joke. And man is made hasty. That's why, you know, generally people focus on immediate gratification. That's why people have such a hard time with the Akhirah and resurrection, all these things, because it means that they can't have fun right now. However, when the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in the final day, they cannot be delayed nor prevented. And, you know, in the end, their jokes actually end up catching up with them. The gods that these people used to worship are actually completely powerless. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, he gives them some respite and some time in this world, but the earth is closing in on them. And these people will be defeated. The Prophet was to warn them. But you know, even if you were to warn them, you can't make someone who's deaf hear. And when the punishment comes, only then do they acknowledge their injustice and their wrongdoing. And then how we're told how the scales of justice will be set up in the hereafter, and no one will be wronged in the least. And then as the surah bears the name Anbiya, we're told about numerous different prophets, about Musa and Harun alayhi salam, how they were given a reminder and a light, how Ibrahim alayhi salam was given guidance, how this Quran is a Mubarak reminder. You know, when we were talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he questioned his father about the idols that they were worshiping. And he said, well, this is what our forefathers used to do. And he said, well, what if you're all, basically, I mean, you guys were all not on the right path and misguided? And so he made a plan. And what he did is he broke all the idols except for the largest one. And when they came back, and, you know, he had made an excuse not to go out with them, and he did this when they were away. And when they came back, they said, you know, who did this? And they found out that it was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they called him, and they asked him, did you do this? And he said, no, the big idol, he is the one who did it. Why don't you go ask him? And at that point, they realized that the idols can't even speak. And so why should you worship something that cannot harm nor benefit, and don't you have any sense? And so that was the argument that Ibrahim alayhi salam made against his community to bring them towards Tawheed. Well, instead of them, you know, responding to what was logical, they reacted emotionally. And a lot of times people do this because, you know, when they're challenged, they lash back. And so they decided to burn him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fire that he was thrown into cool upon him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, Lut alayhi salam, he gave Ibrahim alayhi salam Ishaq and Yaqub, and he made them imams for the people that guided them. And Lut alayhi salam was saved when the punishment came. Nuh alayhi salam was likewise saved when the punishment came. And then we're reminded about the story about Dawood and Suleiman. There was a case in which the sheep had come and destroyed the grapes of another person. And so when that case came before Dawood alayhi salam, he, in the Quran says they both had, you know, hukm and ilm, and they had knowledge. And so Dawood alayhi salam gave one ruling. But then Suleiman alayhi salam, he came up with a much more complicated but much more just ruling by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Suleiman alayhi salam was given the power over the wind and over jinns, and they were subjugated to him. Then we're told about Ayyub alayhi salam, when he finally, you know, made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, it's like, it was like that. He really got pushed to that point, and then the harm was removed from him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him everything that he had lost back, and actually more. And then we're told about how Ismail and Idris alayhi salam were also patient, and then, you know, they were in his mercy. We were told about the story of Yunus alayhi salam when he left his people angrily, saying that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them after 3 days. And this was one of those unique circumstances where even though punishment was coming, they repented so sincerely that they were saved. But Yunus alayhi salam was actually taken to the stomach of a whale and to the bottom of the ocean. And that's when he made the epic dua of La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And he was saved, and that's mentioned here in this juz. Then we're told about Zakariya alayhi salam when he wanted a successor, and he was given Yahya, and about Maryam alayhi salam when the spirit was blown into her, and she came to bear Isa alayhi salam. And so we're told that we're one ummah, and that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one thing that unites us. And once a nation is destroyed, it will not return until resurrection. And, you know, in the vein of resurrection, then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out and they will overrun, you know, in every valley. And that the final hour has drawn close. And when it comes, you know, the disbelievers are just going to stare in utter horror, their sighs, the roaring of hell. But the believers will be far from hearing Jahannam. And in their Jannah, they will have whatever they want. And when the final day will come, the skies will be rolled up. And people will be resurrected, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, initiated their creation before. He will resurrect them again. And we're told how the Prophet is not except for a mercy for all the worlds, rahmatan lil alameen. And his message is that of worshiping one God. And if they don't accept that, the Prophet didn't know, for example, when the final hour is going to come. You know, it will come when it comes. But we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And the Prophet sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help against the lies of those people who belied the truth. Then we start Surah Al-Hajj, and it starts by talking about fearing Allah, that the earthquake of the final hour is such a terrible thing. and things will be so crazy on that final day that, you know, a woman will have a miscarriage if she's, you know, bearing a child, and a woman who's suckling her child will, you know, leave her nursling. And the shayateen, they misled men. And these men, they actually argue about, you know, against the religion without knowledge. And if people have any doubt about the fact that we'll be resurrected, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings up another scientific miracle about embryology, how we were created from dust, and then nutfa, and the different stages of embryological development. And, you know, even one of the medicals, one of the people who wrote the anatomy book that we used to study in med school, you know, when he was presented with the Quranic conception of embryology, it was so astounding. He said, "I have no problem attesting to the fact that there is an element of the divine here. I mean, there is no other really good explanation about the precision with which it was explained." And he gave another sign about resurrection, the barren earth is brought back to life with rain. But the unfortunate reality is that arrogant people are going to argue, and they argue without any basis. Then there are some people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do so on the edge. And the ones that the kuffar call unto, they actually, their harm is closer than their benefit. But compare that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will surely and definitely help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge all the people of different religious groups, and everything in the universe submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever he disgraces, no one can give respect. And when the believers and the disbelievers met at Badr, you know, it was such a stark difference. When, you know, there was Utbah and, you know, Hamza radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, and in the beginning of the battles, they used to have these one-on-one forays before the battle would ensue. And the people, the disbelievers, you know, not only did they lose here, but in the hereafter, they're going to be in clothes of fire, and they'll be in fetters and chained, and they want to come out, every time they want to come out from the fire, they'll be returned into it. And you compare this to what will be the situation of, you know, the believers, that they will be wearing silk, not clothes of fire, and they'll have jewelry with, you know, pearls and, you know, beautiful situation. And then there's a warning given to those who hinder others from Masjid al-Haram, because this is what the Quraysh were doing, or those who intend to do any bad in the Haram, because it's such a sacred ground. We're told about Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he made Baytullah and how he purified it, and he was told to proclaim people, to tell them to come to Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carried that call throughout the world and, you know, throughout time. So much so that even to this day, people feel this draw to come to the Hajj. And so people will come, and they'll experience benefit. They get spiritual benefit and others' benefits, and they perform the rites and the tawaf. And we're told to honor the sacred things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every nation is given certain religious ceremonies, which include mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the sacrifice. And it's not the meat that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's actually the taqwa in the hearts. Then we're told how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends the believers, and how that they're allowed to fight now because they had been wronged, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checks some people with others, because otherwise the places of worship and the synagogues and the churches and all of this would be destroyed. And there are those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them power in the earth. It doesn't corrupt them, but rather they establish prayer, they give zakah, they enjoin what is good, they forbid what is evil. And, you know, if people deny the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't worry, because, you know, same thing happened to the prophets in the past. And how many nations they were, how many nations that were destroyed. And these are people who try to hurry the punishment. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's just a warner. Then we're told about, you know, what the, what's it called, infamous satanic verses. And what happens is that when the Prophet when the Prophet is reciting, and this is not something new that happened, but when the prophets would recite, Shaitan would try to lead people astray by casting some falsehood into the words of the messenger. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogates that and makes clear his verses. But this becomes a fitna for those people whose hearts there is a disease. And people who have a problem with this, they will continue to doubt until the final day. Then he tells about the punishment of the kuffar and how Jannah is for the mu'mineen and the muhajireen and the mujahideen, and how he turns the night into the day and the day into the night. He sends rain. He is the truth, whereas other deities are popular and false. He subjugated an entire world force, and he holds the sky from coming down on us. What if he changed the intensity of, nitrogen, and it became heavy and just fall in our shoulders and crush us? Anything could have happened, but this is awful that he doesn't do that, and he gives life, and he gives death. And so for every nation, Allah SWT has ordained religious ceremonies, but these people, they worship other deities without any right. And when the verses are recited to them, they get so angry, they're about to attack violently in their rage. And so Allah SWT, in the end of this verse, he draws a parable, and he says, these people, if they all get together, they can't even make a fly. I mean, you take the greatest scientists in the face, make a fly. Any type of fly takes something from them, they can't even get it back. So they're so incapacitated, they're so weak. So he orders us to worship him and to do good, and prescribe in him the way he deserves. And that the religion is not made hard. Allah SWT hasn't made the religion to be a burden on us. And so Rasulullah SAW is a witness over us, and we are should live our lives as that we can be a witness over other nations. And we should hold tight to Allah SWT because he is our protector and the best helper. And we ask for his help in our first. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.